is up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Align Money Show coming your way featuring Dustin Alexander. Dustin is the president and founder of Sterling Capital, working with successful families and business owners. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into all the different challenges and opportunities that go with working with entrepreneurs, helping them to shape their financial futures, helping them to confront the different biases that all human beings inherently have. We talked about the challenges of only wanting to invest in things that you know really well versus diversification, and sometimes why people are reticent to deal with Wall Street and Wall Street financial products. Talked about what it takes to really do a good job in figuring out what you need to be doing to be happy when you do eventually exit your business, and the dangers and pitfalls of not doing that. Then, of course, we close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Dustin, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
I started off pre-med before transitioning to economics.
Okay.
I was an exchange student in Germany in high school. Or I ran my first marathon last summer.
Wow, nice. First marathon just this last summer, huh? Okay. All right. Pre-med before going into economics. You were an exchange student in Germany and you ran your first marathon. Well, I know that you're an outdoors man and oftentimes marathons are done outside, but I'm going to guess that you did not run your first marathon this past summer.
I absolutely did not run a marathon. I grew up doing a lot of running. I was more of a sprinter than a long distance guy. So
nice.
That is an accurate guess.
So you thought you were going to be a doctor? Was that the original plan?
Yeah, from I guess maybe kind of like early teen years, you know, junior high age. I've always had a passion for the sciences and spent a lot of time doing job shadows, looking at different, specialties in medicine, and went off to school and I was pre-med for the first couple of years. And I was doing really well at it, but I wasn't enjoying it as much as I thought I was going to by the time I got into college. And my mom was actually the office manager for a group of financial advisors. And I had come home for, it was Christmas break. It might have been spring break, like sophomore year of college, something like that. And popped into the office. It was a late Friday afternoon to see my mom. Hadn't seen her for a couple months. And the guy that she was working for, you know, who I'd known for a long time, we just started chit-chatting. And he asked how things were going. And I told him things were, you know, going well, but I wasn't enjoying it the way I thought it was going about getting into this field. And at the time I really hadn't. And he said, well, if you're gonna be home for a while, come in and spend a couple of days with me and kind of learn about it. And this was in maybe the early 2000s, kind of right before the tech bubble, you know, completely blew, maybe late 90s, late 99, 2000. And I remember going in there and he was kind of showing me some of the things they do with portfolio design. And one of the stocks they were looking at was this book company called Amazon. And I remember like, oh yeah, buy books from them for school and look what they've become. But the format of, you know, how things ran at their office, you know, clients coming in, it was very similar to the way the environment for a physician's office worked. So it was an easy transition, ended up going back to school, changing to economics, and had a minor in history, and here we are. So I was exposed to the profession from an early age, just didn't know that that's what I was going to end up doing.
Yeah. Life's a funny thing, but credit to you. I mean, I don't know that that's not true. I did not have any idea what a financial services professional or financial advisor did at all before I got into the business. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And you're out there shadowing medical professions before you even went to college. So you're a much more organized.
Anesthesiology, you know, orthopedic surgeons, all kinds of stuff. And I was convinced that that's what I was going to do. And it's funny how things work out, but I wouldn't change any of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's credit to you for being so proactive and then to have the courage to say, you know, I really thought I was going to do this. I really thought I wanted to do that, but it hasn't really worked out. So I'm going to change that. That's not easy for people.
No, it's not. And it's why it's, you know, plans can be made, but obviously things change. So you got to be able to adapt to it and to prepare for different contingencies. So.
And that certainly maps over to some of the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, it does. Obviously, I've been a financial advisor for, you know, 23 years approximately now. Started out right at the beginning with a heavy focus on planning, and was fee based right out of the gate. So it's kind of funny how things have evolved, and now, here we are a couple decades later, and that's basically where the industry has evolved and gotten to. But a lot of our work is with small business owners. So I'm a small business owner myself. I own the practice, or I own the company, along with some other, I guess, ventures that I've got going on. So it makes it it's entertaining to work with clients that you've got a lot in common with, and you can kind of give them feedback on things, not just from an advisory capacity, but also from a business owner.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Entrepreneurs are cut from a different cloth, so that you
Yes.
are one helps you to better understand and communicate with them.
Exactly. So, there's a lot of different things that we get into with it. It's not just purely planning on the financial side. We try and take a, I guess, more of a holistic view and kind of look at things from a personal standpoint. A lot of business, excuse me, a lot of business owners, spend so much time working specifically on their core competency and with their business that they don't end up, kind of diversifying into other, areas of their finances where they should have assets. Most of their net worth ends up being heavily concentrated directly into that business. So we try and work with people to help, I guess change the way that they think sometimes and look at other areas where they should be paying attention to. If something were to happen to their business, you don't want all your eggs in one basket. So, it's wise to diversify. And
Do you find that, how is that received? Some people probably really get it. Other people probably say,
it's
I'm going to keep doing this, and now all the money goes back into the business.
yeah, it, you know, it seems like a lot of business owners, and no, this is it's not an absolute, but a lot of them are not a huge fan or of I guess the Wall Street products. It's we tend to see a lot of business owners that have a lot in cash. So there is a definitely an educational aspect of it, and some of it's looking at taxes and how it can impact things from a tax standpoint. Just diversification. We saw a lot of small business owners had a hard time during 2020, 2021 with COVID and all the side effects from that. That was a boost for some businesses. A lot of businesses really, really struggled though. So not having, everything in one place was, it taught a lot of people a lot of lessons.
It's certainly a wonderful exercise in better understanding the different biases that we have. Because if you talk to somebody who only invests in real estate, that's all they want to invest in, or gold or crypto, and you're an entrepreneur, you've had success doing this, why would I depart and go away from what I'm doing?
And then obviously if they've been in business long, they're probably pretty good at it, as far as what they actually do. But you get so focused on doing one thing over and over and over that you kind of have blinders on as to what else is out there.
And that's not a question of intelligence. It's just that's you've had blinders. You've
It's
been
it's
busy
absolutely
working.
not intelligent, no. There's different you just spend so much time doing, the same thing over and over that just kind of becomes like your I guess your personality and what you really want to do. There was a comment I read recently, or excuse me, it was in an article talking about how the majority of business owners are unhappy after selling their business and retirement. And there's part of that is a personality and personal issues. It's less financial driven in my experience.
And that makes sense. I mean, it's almost like a death in the family.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you've spent your whole life, working to build something, and then all of a sudden that stops. So, what do you do if you're, 60, 70 hours a week have been going into, particular, venture? What's next? And a lot of people don't plan for that.
I'm going to drive my spouse crazy, or I'm going to play golf 1,000 times a week.
Yeah, we joke around a lot with that. When people are going to retire, it's like, okay, who's going back to work first? Because if you don't have hobbies and other passions that you have, whether it's it could be you can only golf so much, you can only fish so much. You got to have other things that really drive you that you want to do in life to be able to make retirement fulfilling.
And that's so abstract because I don't have any idea, right? But
Yeah, a lot of us like, you don't there's the financial aspect of it, and that's easy to quantify as long as you understand what your expenses are, your assets, things like that. But what are you going to do? What drives you? What makes you happy? And that's A lot of people don't plan for that. So.
Somebody said this to me a long time ago. They said, and it was a lady that helps businesses to sort of transition out, but more so when they get to the finish line of I've made the decision to sell my business, but then I pull the ripcord and I blow the whole thing up because I can't, I don't know what I'm going to do after I retire. And such the question she would ask is, where will you get the things that your business provides you? It's camaraderie, it's where you go, it's status, it's something to do.
Yeah, and it seems like it's not an absolute, but especially with males, so many of their friendships, close relationships, are in that business career world that there's a lot of people that struggle with it. I've had clients that ended up going back to work doing something else just because they're bored when they retire. So it's really important, when part of the planning process is to kind of look at that from a personality standpoint. Like, what are you going to do when all of a sudden, the times come that you're not going to be going to work every day? Is your succession plan, going to be a family member taking over or a child where you could still have some involvement in the business and still spend some time with it? Is it going to be a complete, sale where you're done cold turkey? Is there an internal stakeholder that's going to end up taking over and be your succession plan where you could still have some involvement in it for a limited amount of time? So those are all things that have to be evaluated and structured, and we try and really push our clients to give thought to those things. Then we can try and coordinate them between them, CPAs, their attorneys, to try and get everything structured in a way that they're going to be happy, so that they're not in that 25% or excuse me, 75% that's unhappy after the sale of a business. We want them to be in the 25% that's thrilled with the way it worked out. So
You know, that's a shocking number right there, that
it
75% are unhappy, but it's the 80-20 rule just in real life that if you don't do the planning, if you're not thoughtful about this stuff, why would you automatically be happy? You're almost guaranteed that you're going to be dissatisfied if you don't start these conversations.
Right, right. A lot of it just comes back down to, diversifying the planning standpoint. What are you going to do, not just with your money and your time? A lot of, business owners they're so heavily invested in their business that they're not focused on what else they should be doing with their money. So we see a lot of, I guess, just misuse with retirement plans and where assets are structured, simple IRAs versus 401k plans. There's a lot of business owners that aren't, I guess, positioning themselves in a way that, they're saving to the right types of vehicles from a tax standpoint, so that it gives them more flexibility with different things to do when they get to the retirement step.
Just too much money in a certain type of account or the wrong structure
Or
altogether.
they're leaving money on the table. I mean, 401k plans in particular are ways that not only can you save for I guess your own retirement, there's ways that you can kind of overfund them to the benefit of the business owner and the business owner's family. But a huge part of it is also just employee satisfaction. If you've got good talent and good team members that are very important to your business, it helps with retention. You want those people to stick around. It's really, really hard to find not only good people, but to find the good people that you get them into the right spots. There was a book I read not long ago, just talking about it was Good to Great, actually, by Jim Collins, I believe, was the one that where this came from. But he spends a lot of time talking about not only want to get the right people on the bus, you want to get the right people off the bus, then you want to get the people that are on the bus into the right seats. And it takes a long time to get that structure in place. And if you're having success with it, having retirement plans, just other benefits and things that you can offer to those key people to make them stick around for the long run and potentially end up being your successors is huge. And we see that as a an opportunity that a lot of business owners miss.
Such a versatile tool. Does that fall under the category of a business owner being reticent of a Wall Street financial vehicle?
Sometimes it's just you don't know what you don't know. So I don't, a lot of times when we've, I guess, run into those, I guess, holes in somebody's plan, it's not an intentional omission. It's just that you get so focused on doing what you have done that you're good at that's gotten you to this point that, you're not, but again, you got blinders on there and you don't know what else is out there. So.
Yeah, it's easy to just keep doing what you're doing and time goes by. I don't know if you've experienced that or not. Goes by quickly, Dustin.
It
And
does. It does, absolutely.
I mean, the best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The next best time is right now. Is there a time where business owners should start thinking about succession planning?
It's always a good time to think of it, but I mean, typically, we recommend once you kind of get within 10 to 15 years of kind of what that, whenever that exit date is, because if it's somebody that you've got to bring in internally and train them and get them up to speed, you don't want to wait till absolutely the last minute for that to happen. I mean, we see it a lot in our industry, in our profession, with advisors. There's not that many young advisors coming into that compared to the demographics of the current advisor population. And it's the same thing with a lot of other small businesses where you have people that have been very good at what they do and they're very successful with it. And in order to have that business, continue to be successful so that you can monetize it, upon exit, you have to have it, stay in place and be profitable. And you need the right team in place for that to happen.
Does every business owner, well, not every business owner wants to do anything because there's no one thing. But what is it? Everybody wants to sell the business? Is there a good chunk that just wants to bring children into it? Somewhere in the middle?
That's important to figure out, because if you've got kids that you'd love to pass it on to, but they don't want to get into it, those are things you need to prepare for. If you think you're going to have a child falling into the business and they decide, okay, I want to go do something else, then what do you do? If you've got multiple children and one wants to follow after, and you've got others that want to do something completely different, you've got decisions to make. What's a fair way to do this? If you've got a business that's worth 7 or 8 figures, do you just hand that over to child number one and child number two and child number three, get nothing? With some of these things, there's not right or wrong answers, but it's important to, give it some thought, have conversations with it, figure out what you want to do, and kind of get things in place so that if that happens, and especially if it happens sooner than expected, you've got mechanisms in place to keep things afloat.
There's not right or wrong answers, but there are answers.
Yeah,
And
you got to have something,
that's why we ask the questions.
Yeah, but same thing, whether it's a plan for your business or, just basic, will, power of attorney, there's a lot of those things are neglected as well. But as a business owner, there's even more that you need to think of from that standpoint.
Do you think that if somebody who's listening to this and say, I've been a business owner for 20 years and I'm probably going to retire in 10 years, I've never done this kind of planning before, does that stop them from engaging? Are they ashamed? Are they embarrassed? Or am I guess it's possible.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, and a lot of times it's just they have, in my experience, it's just something that they haven't really thought of, and they don't want, they're busy with the day to day, or if it might be something that they think of, but it's easy to kick that can down the road. Yeah, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll get to it next week. I'll get to it, next month. And next thing you know, years have gone by and it still hasn't been addressed. And you need to have things in place. What happens if, the unexpected happens and you're not at work tomorrow? So who takes over? Who does what? If you've got a spouse and a family that's dependent on the cash flow or the value of that business, you need to have things in place to make sure that it's handled the way that you would want it to be handled if you're not there to do it.
Again, not a right or wrong way to do it, but there are ways to do it. So, I appreciate that.
Another issue, partnership agreements. If you've got it's more common than you would think. That I think there's a lot of just handshake deals, and you have people that work together, and they start something early on in their careers, and don't have things formalized and documented the way they should. And if somebody decides they want out, or if something happens to one of the two partners, or however many partners there are, you need to have things structured to, I guess, keep things. You just want it to be handled the way you would want it to be handled, not have people arguing about it and second guessing things after the fact. So that's something we always push to get that done. I mentioned the exit strategies, kind of defining, what you want to do with it. Do you want to sell it? Do you want to pass down to a family member, internal stakeholders? Do you want to If you've got other assets, especially if you want to leave a business behind to other family members, if you're leaving the business to one, do you have other assets accumulated that you can leave to, to other beneficiaries or other children, in lieu of the business? That's something you need to plan ahead and accumulate. It's not most people, you just can't pull it out of thin air. So.
I think we've all certainly experienced when relationships don't go well, if it's
Yep.
somebody we're dating or a friendship, and if you're an entrepreneur working with a partner or a vendor, and unfortunately we go into these things with the best of intentions, but then sometimes it works out not that way, and these
Yeah,
agreements
and
that you're
that's
talking
and
about.
we I mean, I always try and really encourage clients just to plan for that. When I had a partnership I guess incident earlier on in my career that didn't end well. So I kind of learned the lesson the hard way, and I was just young and didn't know any better. And it's better to learn those things early on than late once everything's been accumulated and businesses have been built. So
It's a lot more expensive at that point.
yeah, it would be. So yeah. Let's just learn the lessons when they're inexpensive.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, Dustin.
Correct. Correct.
Well,
So,
you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
I just focus on doing less to achieve more, and really look at doing what only you can do, and delegate the rest. Spend as much time as you can working getting the right people in the right places, and have them, I guess help, drive your organization to what to its optimal level. It's taken me a long time to do that, but I finally am in a position where I've got an awesome team that they do a really, really great job. Wish I'd been able to have that 10 years sooner than I did, but it's worked out well. And then once you have those people, do what you need to do to make sure you keep them happy, keep everybody, working in the same direction as a great team. So,
Well, I think that that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
yep.
We are very much proponents of less is more over here. So, amen to that, Dustin. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can individuals and small business owners engage with you?
Website is sterlingcapital .org. It's STIRLANG dot excuse me STIRLANG capital .org. My dad's family is actually originally from Scotland, just outside of Stirling, so that's where the company name came from. And then I've got a LinkedIn page, so either Dustin Alexander on LinkedIn, or you can Sterling Capital also has a LinkedIn page. Those are probably the best two places to find us.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Dustin your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pass it along to the small business owners in your life. Go to sterlingcapital.org, STIRLING capital.org, and find Dustin on LinkedIn as well. Put those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Dustin.
Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.